All right. My goodness. I'm going to hand out black Sharpies so people can write their name on their chair. But they're black chairs, so you won't be able to read it. That's right. Amen. I like your thinking. Well, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and about the Trinity and those kinds of things. And so again, today, I want to back up just a little bit in talking about it. And I want to nail this down again, that the believer's inheritance is certain. Amen? If you don't leave here with anything else tonight, leave here with this fact, with this knowledge, that the believer's inheritance is certain. And God is, have you ever had anybody renege on you? Huh? Today? No names, okay? No names. Sharon, keep him under control. Listen, God will not renege on you. No way. Peter wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Now, if you was here on Sunday, we had a good church on Sunday. Sunday was great. I talked about the garden and I talked about the new city. And described that biblically to some degree. And I'll tell you what, that's going to be a good time. Amen. I'm ready to jump in that river. Amen. I don't want to get in it ankle deep. I don't want to be in there knee deep. I want to be in to where my little bald head does not show anymore. I mean, I want to be in the water. Amen. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, and he said, God set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. I talked about this at great length last week, that it's as if we have been branded by God. Amen? We are part of His. Well, I guess sheep are a flock, aren't they? So we're part of His flock, not His herd. Amen. I like herd better than flock, but we're sheep, Ron. We're sheep, not cattle. And so we have been marked. There's a seal of ownership. The Holy Spirit is recognized in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 as God. So I just want to catch us up here tonight. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own? In your own control. So why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Whew! Listen, when the Holy Spirit comes to church and starts killing people, I bet revival broke out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'll bet people were watching what they said from then on. Because it only takes one application of that, and all of a sudden it's like, truth is pretty important. Amen? So He is active, the Holy Spirit is active in man, convincing, or rather convicting him of sin and guiding the believer, you and I, into all truth, as is stated in John chapter 5 through chapter 15. Again, the Trinity, the Bible teaches that there is only one God. So the doctrine of the Trinity is not explicit in the Old Testament, but it is implied in the Old Testament. Again, we can go back and look at the Old Testament and see where the Holy Spirit is referred to. We can even see that Jesus said in the New Testament, He made reference back to the Old Testament that he was there as well. So in Genesis 1:1, the Hebrew word for God, again, is plural. It's Elohim. And in Hebrew, the singular word for God is El, E-L. And in Hebrew, the word for a dual God is Elah. So in Hebrew, the word for a plural, three or more, God is Elohim. So that's how we come up with the name Elohim that signifies and really declares that there is a triune Godhead, amen, that is over us. And then in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, the evidence for the Trinity is explicit. And when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I have well pleased." So in verse 16 and 17, all three persons of the Trinity are evidenced here. Now, how did the Holy Spirit come to Jesus? In the form of a dove. How did the Holy Spirit come to the disciples in the upper room? Fire, tongues of fire. The sound of a rushing mighty wind. But the evidence was cloven tongues of fire. Why did Jesus get a dove and the disciples get a fire? Why did Jesus get a dove and the disciples, you and I, get fire? Because we need purified and Jesus didn't. The dove is a symbol of purity. You're right. I'll do the preaching. All right? I got to keep... Rick, keep... Yeah. Finally, I got one. Hallelujah. Spot on, man. The dove is a representation. Always the dove represents purity. And Jesus was pure. He didn't need the purifying of the fire that the disciples and you and I need in our lives. Amen? So that's why that happens. The doctrine of the Trinity was developed later in church history. It teaches that God is three persons, yet one in essence. And so I want to start talking. I launched into this just briefly last week, but I want to talk about the Spirit-filled life. Amen? The Spirit-filled life. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit places us into the body of Christ. So whose body is it? Is it according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27? This is what it says. Now you are, the body of Christ and members individually. So whose body is it? It's Christ's body. Amen? And we, the body of Christ, do what? Corporately, what do we do? Finish that thought. What? We make up the church. We're individuals. We're members individually, but together, corporately, we make up the body of Christ. Right? He refers to some as eyes, some as ears, some as hands, some as feet. So we all make up one body. So the word "you" in this verse refers to all believers across the world, and all believers together are Christ's body. Amen? I saw the coolest shirt yesterday at the saw shop. Went down, had my saw worked on, and I went down there yesterday to pick it up, and this little gal that works in there in the bookkeeping is wearing this shirt, and I've said this I don't know how many times, but she was wearing the shirt. I've never seen it before, and it said right on it, "I am whosoever." I said, "Hey, where'd you get that shirt?" She got it in Montana at a Bible college.
Go online, God.
Amen.
Go online.
You know who you're talking to? Good Lord. Go online. You can get it. Sure you can. I thought it was awesome. The word "you" refers to all believers across the world. And as new believers come to salvation in Christ, we join, or they rather join, that body. They receive a gift from the Holy Spirit and are used by God. Therefore, each and every believer in the body of Christ is a separate and necessary part of that body. Now, let me just get morbid for a minute. What if you lose a body part? I mean, you lose a finger? It's no big deal. It's just a finger until you don't have it. Then all of a sudden, it's a really big deal. Right? What happens when we, as part of the body of Christ, choose not to stay active in the body? It hurts the body, but it's incomplete. What happens if you break your leg? Well, we got a broken leg right back there, right? How's it affect her? She can't hardly walk. She can't get around. She can't go run and jump and play. She can't do this and that and the other thing. If we aren't fulfilling what God's called us to do in our part of the body, the body's going to have a limp. The body's going to be either limp or, you know, there's going to be some effect in the body. And that's why I've been recently, well, for like the last 4 years, that's recent, right? Pounding and pounding and pounding that every one of us needs to be doing our part in the body of Christ to see it fulfilled. To see the body effective. Listen, let me just say this as a disclaimer to the ushers. I don't know what's going to happen here Sunday. Let me say this to the ladies that are putting eggs together. But I received a message today from inquiring if we're going to have a service here Sunday, and if so, if there's going to be an Easter egg hunt. I said, we are going to have church on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and there will be our annual Easter egg hunt. So we could be inundated with people. Because apparently, people aren't having church. Are they not? Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, whatever you want to call it. We know what it's about. I'm not going to nitpick it. It's about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, defeating death, hell, and the grave. That's what I'm talking about. And it ain't about a bunny. Hello? But if it'll get people in the church to hunt an Easter egg, hey, I'll hide them myself. Me and Rick. We'll be on it. So I just threw that out there because we could really have a full house on Sunday. In fact, what's that? It was your kinfolk, so they're kind of friendly. It was the sweetest new addition. Yeah, so anyway. So every believer in the body of Christ is a separate but necessary part. So listen, we've got to do our part, church. How many of you have been here less than 1 year? Raise your hands. Okay. You better get busy. I'm going to be on you. You are busy. Never mind. Yeah. You pray. Yeah. You know, that's true. What she said is true. If there's a need and you can meet the need, do it. Listen to me. Those of you watching by way of the internet, the body... How can I say this without getting in trouble? It's too late now.
Don't worry about it. We'll come up with
bail. Listen, if you have the wherewithal to be in church but just choose to stay home and just watch on the internet, the church body is missing out, and you're missing out as well by not being a part of the body. I'm not trying to be ugly, I'm not trying to be mean, and I'm not trying to get a high number of attendance. I'm just saying that we're never going to be all that God wants us to be until the body is complete. And the body is together. Listen, I said that because this next statement is vital to the church. Because I'll bet you I could find 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us in here today that would feel like this category. No believer is unimportant. No believer is unimportant, but yet there are probably those seated in this room right now today that feel like they are unimportant. I mean, to the church, well, they probably feel that they're unimportant regardless. And especially in the church. But every one of us have a role to play. Irene hugged me in the back of the church. I was having a conversation with Bob or Fred or somebody, I don't know who, and she just slipped up beside me and put her arm around me. And I never even quit my conversation. I just put my arm around her and just hugged her. And you know what she said? She said, "You don't care who hugs you, do you?" And I said, "I don't care who hugs me. I'm in it for the hugs, man. It's fellowship. It's family. That's what family does." And I'll tell you something. Each one of us have a gift to share in order to make the body function that much more effectively. Listen, James Dobson, I used to listen to James Dobson on the radio all the time at Focus on the Family. The things that stuck out in my mind the most at listening to him, probably the number one thing was touch. Was touch. When you touch somebody, touching you too much, aren't I? Sorry. I touched him a little rough. He's got a bad elbow, and I was over here jerking on his arm. He's like, he's not saying a word. He's just like, when you touch somebody, it does something. I remember him talking about little babies that have been born that are not wanted, and they're in the nursery, and nobody is touching them. Nobody is loving on them. Nobody's caring for those babies, and they have this condition that is called failure to thrive. And because they haven't had that sense of touch, that's why, ladies, you know, if you've had children, the first thing that the doctors do is take that baby and put it right on mama's chest. Why? Because of touch. Because of that sensation of touch. And I'm telling you, God wants us to touch and communicate with each other through touch. Do you understand? I'm not trying to start some crazy cult, trust me. I'm just saying that there is something vital when two people touch in a communicative way, a hug, a handshake, a pat on the... I mean, when we wrestled in school, when our coaches would slap us on the butt. Do you remember that? Coach Manley, and then they'd get out there and they'd slap... Today, they'd probably go to jail. I don't know, but, you know. But to us, it just meant, get in there and do your best. I'm here for you. I'm rooting for you. You know, it's all about that. Every one of us have a gift to share in order to make the body function more effectively. All are members in a church body the same, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14 and also verse 17. No, we are not one, but many. For listen to what 14 says. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Many. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? Having established that the church, the worldwide community of believers, is indeed one body, the body of Christ, Paul went on to show the necessary diversity in that body. You can do things with your hands that you can't do with your nose. You can do things with your feet that you can't do with your hands. The human body doesn't consist of one member, but of many. And for a body to function, this kind of diversity is essential. Can we overcome some things, some limitations? Absolutely we can. I saw a lady driving a car the other day, and her arm was gone from here down. Man, she didn't seem to... from what I could tell, there was no fingers or nothing, but she shifted that thing like nothing. She just put it away. She went. I was like, well, that's cool. I just was like, wow. So you can overcome some of these. Individual members cannot separate themselves without harming the body. Is this working?
Check, check.
It wasn't very loud?
All right, I'll talk like this.
Individual members cannot separate themselves without harming the body. We need each other. We need one another. Just as a foot can't decide to leave the body because it's not the hand, so a believer who does not have a particular gift cannot decide that he or she is not part of the church, that you are part of the church. Not having a particular gift does not make that person any less a part of the body. Do you know that I can see choir members in here? Eugene. Listen. I see choir members. I'm a choir nut. I love choirs. And I can see a choir. Well, then why don't we have one? Because it's just not time yet. But that time's coming. It's coming. Just because we don't have a choir yet doesn't mean we don't have choir members, choir parts, body parts. Amen? That's kind of what I'm talking about here. Not having a particular gift doesn't make you any less a part of the body. You're still part of the body. It's just one of those processes that we've got to work our way through, maybe to get to the place where your body part becomes effective. Amen? So apparently some of the believers in Corinth were discouraged that they didn't have a particular gift. Maybe one of the most spectacular gifts, such as the gift of tongues. So they believed that they could not truly be a part of the body unless they experienced that particular gift. But Paul goes on to explain throughout this metaphor that all different gifts given by the Spirit to believers must be utilized in order for the church to function well. You ask, how do I know what my gifting is? Well, I'll tell you how it usually comes about. You find a need, you see a need, you start to meet that need. All of a sudden, you become comfortable in that need. You start having thoughts about that need. How can I make what we're doing better? Amen? And all of a sudden, now, you're like, Pastor, can I sit down and talk with you? You know, at some point, I want to talk to you about what we're doing here. All of a sudden, now, it's become a burden in your heart. We got to do this better for the glory of God. Now listen, I'm not being ugly at all. Glenn, I did not ask you to be involved or to be a part of our building project, did I? She did. But what I've experienced in our relationship since you guys first started coming here is you saw a need and you just took over. I mean, you just stepped up and started meeting that need and helping us, Bob, myself, Mike, the rest of us, to fulfill that need to see this dream come to fruition out there in that parking lot, right? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. I don't know what all my giftings are. One of them is talking, apparently. I mean, who'd have thought? If you see a need, begin to meet that need. I'll illustrate this one of these Sundays, how we can get you involved. Amen? I'll do that later. I'm not going to even go into it. The gifts are interdependent. Did you hear what I said? Interdependent, not independent. The gifts are interdependent, and like the body, they cannot function without each other. A socket and a ratchet are interdependent on one another. Interact could work there. They're interdependent. You can put a socket on a bolt head or on a nut and twist on it all you want. Chances are you're not going to get it loose or tight. But if you engage the ratchet to the socket, now you have leverage and the tool. They're both tools. They're both tools, but when they come together as one, they're more effective. Hello. I illustrated this one time in Utah with a sawzall. I give a guy an electric sawzall. Great big guy. The biggest guy I could find tonight, it would be you. And I give him a two-by-four and a sawzall with a long blade, a wood blade on it. And I said, here, cut this board in two. And I had the battery. He said, I can't. I said, yes, you can. No, he said, it's not all complete. I said, but you can still do it. I said, just start sawing it. And so he did. And he started sawing. There was wood chips and stuff. I mean, it was great. He was getting it done. I said, how's that working for you? Well, not correctly. I know that much. It's not correct. I said, it's missing something. I mean, I'm trying to use him to illustrate this thing. I plugged the battery into it, and I said, now try it. Man, the dust and everything started working. That's the point, church. Without all the tools working together, you can still get some stuff done, but not as effectively and efficiently if the whole toolbox gets involved. Amen? So, the gifts are interdependent. They cannot function without each other. So replacing the national identity that had once set apart God's people, Paul gives a new picture of the identity of God's redeemed people. They are like a body. Each one of us has one body, but it has many parts. Eyes, ears, fingers, toes, blood vessels, your brain, muscles, nerves, all those kinds of things make up the body. All the members do not have the same function. All the members do not have the same function. Not every part of our body can see. Not every part of our body can hear. Instead, each part has a specific function, and they all must work together if the body is going to move and act correctly. How many of you have ever had a backache? I mean, anybody? I'm just random, you know. Within the last, like, 5-10 minutes. How does that affect your body? It hurts. It messes up every part of your body. You can't walk. You can't pick stuff up. You can't bend over correctly. You can't sit down well. Sometimes you can't lay down. You can't turn. You can't do this. You can't. Why? Because one part of the body is hurting. Every part has a specific function, and they have to work together if the body is going to move and act correctly. I remember one time in Utah when I was really smart, and I was at a guy's house, and he had these concrete bumpers that you drive against, your tires against. He said, "You can have them if you want them." I said, "Okay." And so I just bent down and picked one of them up and put it in a trailer. What a dummy. Didn't hurt right then. But about an hour later, I got out of my pickup and tried to go into Home Depot. And it literally, something snapped in my back and I could not breathe. I was humped over and I was going, literally. I gotta go to the chiropractor. So I went to the chiropractor and put me back together, and about 20 minutes later I could breathe again and function. One part of your body, if it gets messed up, you're really messed up. So who gives us our place in the body? Who gives us our place in the body? Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12 and 18. But now, God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Isn't that amazing? Just as He pleased. As God created human bodies to function with their many parts working together, so the body of Christ, the church, needs all the various gifts working in harmony. Isn't that amazing? In harmony. In harmony. Listen, I've been around a lot of rigging crews and logging crews in my life, and a crew that gets along together will be so much more productive than a crew that is bickering and fighting against each other all the time. I've seen it over and over and over. The picture of a body with only one part illustrates the absurdity of a church with everyone trying to have the same gift. That's what was going on in Corinth. You know, they all wanted to be able to, you know, prophesy and speak in tongues and all this. They failed to realize that waiting on the door when Irene and some of these come in, that's as vital as preaching. If you don't believe me, ask somebody that needs to have the door open for them. So, it wouldn't be a body at all if everybody had the same gift. It would be a part. It would just be a part. It would be unable to function. While there's many parts, there's one body because God ordained it that way, putting each part just where He wants it. All believers, those with spectacular gifts and those with quieter gifts, are placed right where God wants them so they might serve effectively together. I don't remember who I was even talking to the other day, but I asked this question. thinking about where we are right now and your life and my life, the things that we've been through. Do you realize that God has known us from before the foundation of the earth? And do you not find it somewhat amazing, that God appointed you to live today? Today, in this, the Bible says, for such a time as this. I mean, for me, I'd a lot rather been in the 1800s riding horses and packing guns, you know. I'd have been dead. But, you know, it's a great thought. No, he said, no, I've got other plans for you. For such a time as this, today, in all the mess. You are a vital part of the body. We are one body with many parts because that's the way God made it. That's the way God made us. I'm reminded of a story of a preacher over in Europe, and he was gonna retire. He knew he was gonna die before long, and so he built this spectacular building. He wouldn't let anybody come and look at it. Wouldn't let anybody see it. But he built this fantastic church. But the church didn't have any windows. And on the inauguration day, on the day that they were going to hold their first service in that building, which would be his last service, on the way in, he gave every one of them a candle. Everybody that went in got a lit candle. And everyone went and sat in their places, and the place was illuminated, obviously, with no lights and no windows. And he began to preach, and he began to preach about the effectiveness of the body. And he said, your candle that you're holding, he said, I want you to understand something about your candle. What I want you to understand tonight is that when you're not here, that place where you would normally sit, that's going to be a little bit darker because you're not here. And he, in a very vivid way, painted the picture of the necessity of each one of us being in church. Listen, if you've ever invited somebody to church, the first person that they looked for when they came to that church was you. It was, if they didn't care who the preacher was, they didn't care about the worship team, they wanted somebody in that place that they could attach themselves to. According to 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 21 through 25, and also 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it says, we are all necessary. From gray hair to grade school, we're all necessary. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. Those members of the body which we think are less honorable, those that on these we bestow great honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God compared the body, or composed rather the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. And there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Can I tell you something? This is going to be the goofiest illustration probably I've ever come up with. Tammy, just plug your ears, okay? I don't make a big deal about my belly a lot. I mean, my belly's just there. It just kind of hangs around, right? It just goes before me. It has had my attention all day long. You know why? Because my first load this morning was a load of nice big Doug fir, and when I was tightening my wrappers, a bunch of bark got tore off of it, and it all went right down my shirt. Now, you ain't lived until you've had Doug fir bark down your shirt. Because I don't care how many times you do this. I don't care how many times you stick your air hose down your shirt and blow it all out. When them little Doug fir splinters get stuck in your belly, you know it all day. Nope. Not doing it. I'm not doing it. Duct tape. Yeah. No. Oh, no, Mike. Lord Jesus. Listen, I'd live with the slivers, all right? My point is this. My point is this. My stomach has been very irritable all day long. And I have fussed with it. I've moved my shirt. I've done everything I can to make it better. And I mean, I've done everything. My stomach, you can't see this, and I ain't going to show you. But it's all red right here where all them gazillion little slivers have been gouging me all day long. Listen, all of a sudden, it's a vital part of me. I put some lotion on it tonight and everything. I am not rubbing Benadryl on my belly. I just got to move on here. Duct tape to Benadryl. This is why every part of the body is necessary. We've gone from duct tape to Benadryl for the belly on the outside. Is the Benadryl to calm me down after the duct tape? Is that how that works? I have lost this crowd. As each one has received a gift. Yeah. Minister it to one another. You walk up to me with a roll of duct tape, there's going to be trouble. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, every person has received one or more spiritual gifts from God. Listen, if you think you're lacking in prestige or need of the it being a part of the body, let this minister to you, because every person has received one or more spiritual gifts from God. You are vital. You have a gift that has been given to you by God. And He wants to use you in that gifting. A spiritual gift is a talent or an ability empowered by the Holy Spirit and able to be used in the ministry of the church. Amen? We have resources. Each one of us have resources at our availability to meet needs in the church. You and I used your availability, your resources one night to rescue an old lady who was stuck, had no idea where she was, but because of the resources that He is privy to, we were able to safely get her and bring her home. Is that a spiritual thing? You better believe it is. You don't think so? Go ask her family. A spiritual gift is a talent. It's an ability empowered by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual gifts help God's people to serve and to love one another. And they continue the work of the spreading of the gospel. Paul wrote this in Romans 12, 4 through 6. Just as each one has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace that is given to us. So when believers humbly recognize their partnership in the body of Christ, their gifts can be used effectively. I don't get upset because Billy can play the piano fantastically. I don't get upset because John and Bob can sit here and play their guitars beautifully. I don't get upset that Fred can sit back there behind the scenes. And frankly, can I just say this? That oftentimes people think that those kinds of things are what I referred to earlier as the lesser things. But can I tell you something? To that person that's watching tonight by way of the internet, it's not lesser. It's right on top. Because you're ministering to them. You're meeting a need. You're going around the world, literally. You're impacting the world with the giftings and the talents that God has given you. The fact that you figured out by having this place surveyed again and having some marks made that has brought such a level of reduction of stress in my life. That's a spiritual thing. Yeah, shrug your shoulders because it's no big deal to you, but to me it's huge. See, he's comfortable walking and moving in his giftings. Kathy just smiles. How many of you like her smile? Everybody loves her smile. You know why? Because it just disarms all of the mess in our life. Gene is effective as an usher. He ushers and does stuff. I don't ever have to worry about things. The other day when we had such a crowd of people here, I didn't have to do anything. You guys just started doing your thing. I remember when it was raining and you were at the door and you grabbed an umbrella and went outside and carried an umbrella over the top of people as they come in the building. Listen, that's spirit, that's being used in your spiritual gifting. It's what's it called? What's the gift? Hospitality. What's the? There's another word for it. A servant. All that kind of stuff. It's just as important as being an usher. It's just as important as working at the back. It's just as important as preaching God's word. Because we're part of one body. So when believers humbly recognize their partnership in the body, the gifts can be used effectively. And only then can they also appreciate one another's gifts. For those people that you carried the umbrella for, I got news for you. They appreciated that. They probably told you they appreciated it. God gives His people various spiritual gifts so that they can build up His church. The gifts weren't meant for self-aggrandizement. The gifts were never given or never meant for self-aggrandizement. Instead, every believer has received at least one gift from God in order to serve others. Church, we need to understand tonight that Jesus did not come to be served. The night of the Last Supper, what did Jesus do? He's facing death. He's facing the cross. Don't think for one minute He didn't know what was coming. Yet what did He do? He humbled Himself, put on an apron, got some water, and He's washed the disciples' feet. No, but I've washed people's feet before, and it is the most humbling thing you ever do in all of your life. I remember when Mark Young washed Sid's feet, and Sid was 90-some years old, and he just sat there, and he said, "No, Mark, no. No, Mark, no." Mark said, "Yes, Sid, yes." Because that old man did more for the church by just being there he just wept, and Mark was weeping. The whole church was a mess because of one act of servanthood. Moved the whole place. Jesus said that we are to serve one another. Amen? He came to serve, not to be served. The gifts were not meant for self-aggrandizement. Instead, every believer has received at least one gift in order to serve others. And when believers use their gift in humble service to others, they are actually faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to stop right there. I want you to practice letting God use you. Look around. Tammy, come here and stand by me just for a minute. Just come stand right here with me for a minute. She's actually a credentialed pastor as well. I'm ordained, which I don't know what that means. She can marry him. She can do everything that I can do except vote. She don't care to vote anyway. In Grace International, you have to be ordained. But people look at the pastors and say, well, it's their church. No, it's not. This is not Tammy and I's church. This is God's church. Listen, this isn't even the church that started up on the hill. This is God's church. Amen? And you, it's your church. You know when this church will become effective? When will this church become effective? When everybody takes ownership of this church. Yeah. Do you refer to it as Pastor Shane's church? Do you refer to it as Harvest Christian Assembly? Or do you refer to it as my church? You should come to my church. That's good. That's good. That's what I'm talking about. And when you begin to look at things through the eyes that it's yours, you'll begin to see things. You'll begin to do things. Things will begin to get done. Amen? I'm really excited about our upcoming months and weeks. I'm very excited about what God's going to do. And He's going to use you to do it. Thank God. Thank God. Thank the Lord. Listen, we're going to outgrow this place really quick. And we may end up having to have multiple services right here. I don't know. That's up to God. But when you begin to do what God's wired you to do, amen, we're going to begin to grow exponentially. Multiply. This one or that one? All that it'll hold. All that it'll hold. We might be running Saturday night services and a Sunday night service. I don't know, but everybody that wants to come, we're going to take care of them. Amen? So, get ready. Get ready. Hey, I don't know. That's what he's talking about. Yes, I'm beating around the bush because I ain't turning nobody away.
It's called being obtuse.
He needs some duct tape. Yeah. Or Benadryl.
No, no, no.
Let's... All right. We're going to continue talking about the gifts of God and those kinds of things because it's vital. Listen, every one of you have a gift. At least one gift. At least one gift. Every one of you. Begin to pray. Begin to ask God. Begin to get in His Word. Begin to look around this place. Say, what can I do? God, how would you use me to grow your church? God, how would you use me to create, to make it where your body functions more effectively? Amen? Father, I love you. I thank you. I give you praise for this night, for everyone that is here, for everyone that is watching tonight by way of the internet. I pray, God, that you have stirred something up in each one of us, Lord. And I pray, God, that we would be about your Father's, about our Father's business and about what you have wired us to do. Begin to reveal it. Even right now, Lord, begin to reveal what it is that you have gifted us and how you want to use us, regardless of how scary it might be. With you, all things are possible. And Father, we thank you for it. We give you the glory and the honor and the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you and good night.